hope you're having a great Sunday. My name is Dr. Jason Uchida. I'm a doctor of naturopathic medicine and your host of this program on alternative medicine. Welcome to the May 24th, 2009 edition of Wellness in the New Millennium. Thank you for joining me. Tonight, we have another program that you don't want to miss. My patient Eric joins us to share his story of how he tore the three ligaments in his clavicle, the outer tip anyway, and what we did to help his body heal itself perfectly without surgery. In a few minutes, Eric and how his body healed a mangled shoulder all by itself perfectly. For those of you who want to watch my patients, Doug, Milton, Jason, Mose, Jim, and Eric, and I on Olelo TV, we are on channels 49 and 52 on various times. On May 31st, you can watch Doug and Mose on channel 49 at 5:30 and 6:30 p.m. Then on June 2nd, you can watch Doug on channel 49 at 6 o'clock p.m. Then on June 3rd, you can watch Mose on channel 49 at 8 o'clock in the evening. Also, if you can also view these Olelo television programs on my website, www.drjasonuchida.com, and hit the video link. Next week is a program that you don't want to miss. I'm going to be discussing the latest craze in college campuses and in the cutthroat world of business. In the last few years, more people are trying to enhance brain function with medications to get ahead at school and at work. Tune in next week to learn which medications are being used and why these people are using them, and what are the potential side effects to these individuals and society as a whole. Next week, the desperate search for superior brain power through medications. Wellness in the New Millennium is brought to you by the leaders in the health, wellness, and alternative medicine industry, the Tri-Element Supplement Company, Nature Science Integrity. Nutrix Hawaii, producers of bile acids and the natural astaxanthin and organic spirulina pacifica in powder, crystal flakes, and tablets since 1983. DeVita Natural Skin Care, engineered by nature and formulated by science for healthy, vibrant skin. The Pan American MOA Foundation, promoting true health through art and beauty, nature forming, and Jodei, the medical art from Japan. Enzymatic Therapy, get the best that science and nature have to offer with nutritional supplements from Enzymatic Therapy. Find out what better feels like. The Flora Supplement Company, producers of liquid phytocapsules and quality nutritional supplements for healthy bone health, digestive tract, and detoxification. The Good Health Food Store, more than just a health store, and the Island Wellness Center, the chronic illness specialist. Stay with me. I'll be right back with Eric, and he'll share his story of how he crippled his shoulder in a disabling soccer accident and what he did to help his body heal itself perfectly, right after we take this very important sponsorship break with our friends from Nutrix Hawaii, Enzymatic Therapy, and the Flora Supplement Company.
You look and feel best when you eat well, but easy lifestyles can cause us to miss out on the 5 servings of vegetables recommended by doctors for optimum health. To help bridge the gap, we recommend organic Spirulina Pacifica from Kona Cyanotech Corporation. Hawaiian Spirulina Pacifica supplies vegetable nutrition so concentrated that just a few tablets per day provide a wealth of carotenoids, B vitamins, enzymes, and minerals. And Hawaiian Spirulina Pacifica is naturally concentrated, not extracted, plus it is 100% organically grown. Let nature's richest source of antioxidants and vitamins boost your energy levels and give you radiant health. Enjoy a daily boost from organic Hawaiian Spirulina and enjoy a healthy glow.
It's often speculated that if something tastes too good, it's probably not too good for you. Enzymatic Therapy has put tasty and healthy to the test and come out with the winner in Active Fruit Cranberry Supplement. With Active Fruit's sweet and tangy cranberry chews, tasting is believing. You never have to wonder if it tastes too good to be true. This outrageously delicious chew is loaded with powerful antioxidants found in cranberries to provide natural, time-tested defense to guard your health. Just one soft chew a day delivers the CranMax Advantage maximum protection for urinary tract health. Discover the best cranberry can offered extended release delivery for all day support. Clinically studied to enhance bladder and urinary tract health, plus up to 7 times more free radical fighting antioxidant power than cranberry juice cocktail with 94% less sugar. Taste the power of better health today. Active Fruit Chews are available at your local health food store in Hawaii.
Find finally a diet solution that's right for you. According to the latest research, diets that promise fat loss by avoiding fats have an over 90% failure rate. Short-term solutions like starvation diets, appetite suppressants, and diet pills that overstimulate the body are not the answer. It's time to get off the merry-go-round of the ineffective and unsafe weight loss schemes. We need to reestablish the body's balance and achieve sound health by getting back to the basics. Healthy weight loss and good health require common sense solutions. Dr. Udo Erasmus's The Right Fat Diet is a sensible program that incorporates effective nutritionally rich formulas that revitalize the whole body. Essential fatty acids and wholesome fiber keep you trim and cardio fit. Probiotics and plant enzymes support strong digestion, and concentrated greens provide fuel for peak energy levels. Ask for Udo's Choice, perfected oil blend, wholesome fast food, green blend, probiotics and enzyme blend products at your local health food stores throughout Hawaii.
This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
Welcome back. I'm Dr. Jason Uchida, and you're listening to Island Wellness on and Wellness in the New Millennium on K108 tonight. We have a very special program lined up for you. My patient Eric joins us to share his incredible story of how he tore three ligaments that held the outer tip of his collarbone down to his shoulder and what he did to help his body heal itself perfectly without surgery. Eric, welcome to Island Wellness and Wellness in the New Millennium. Eric, would you tell us the story of how you injured your shoulder?
Well, I was playing soccer in a men's league, and I was actually a beginner, so I didn't really quite know what I was doing, and they put me up front, and so I was a striker, and I was going for the ball. The defender was there with me, and the keeper came up. Next thing I knew, I had hit the ground, and I hit it very hard. And through my experience with sports, I always was taught, you know, get right back up and go back to it. Well, this time it was a bit different.
All right.
I started to jog back to my position, and the next thing I knew, I just felt something was definitely wrong.
With your shoulder?
With my shoulder. I tried to raise my arm and try to work it out.
Yeah, yeah.
As I walked back to my position, and it just didn't feel right.
Yeah.
On the soccer field, one of my teammates asked me, he said, "Are you all right?" And I said, "You know what? I don't think so." So yeah. I said, okay, well, just take a knee, and the referee came over, and so I went off to the side, and they said, well, why don't you go to the trainer's tent, and they'll take care of you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I did. I went to the trainer's tent. When I got there, the trainer looked at me, and she had a look of surprise, and so then that's when I started to get worried, because I knew my arm wasn't responding too much. It was in a lot of pain, and so she said, well, let me go ahead and wrap you up, and you better get to the doctors right away.
That's what she told you. Did you have a chance to look at your shoulder at that time when, you know, when the trainer started to work on you?
No, I didn't.
You didn't?
No. In fact, as I sat on that trainer's table, I just started to see a little bit of white on the sides of my vision and started to panic a little, I guess. And so she must have seen that, and so she tried to calm me down and say, "No, you're gonna be all right. Everything's fine," but I knew it wasn't.
Okay. Why did you see the whites on the side of your vision? Was that because of the pain that you were feeling?
I don't know if it was the pain or just the shock of the injury or whatever it was, or maybe because I had been walking and all of a sudden, as I laid down on that trainer's table, maybe the blood with the flow and everything.
Yeah. So. Sure. Well, you're playing soccer. Somebody cheap shotted you, I guess, from behind.
Well, I wouldn't say that. I don't want to say that.
Okay.
I don't want to think that.
You're a good sport. All right. But somebody hit you, and you fell onto your shoulder.
Yes.
You said you were in a lot of pain.
Yes.
So it hurt quite a bit.
It was really bad.
Did you hear any kind of a pop? Because you tore three ligaments on the outside of your collarbone, on the outside tip of your collarbone.
Right. It happened so fast that I don't recall hearing a pop or anything of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
I just remember hitting the ground, hitting it hard, and then was just in so much pain.
Yeah. All right. Eric, after the injury, did you go to the emergency room?
Yes, I did. And what they did there, they did take an x-ray. And they did give me an arm sling.
Okay.
And they recommended that I see a orthopedic surgeon quickly.
Okay.
And they were quick to write a couple of prescriptions for painkillers.
Okay. All right. You were in a lot of pain. Did you have a chance to see your shoulder at that time when you were in the emergency room?
No.
Did you feel your shoulder?
I did.
Did you feel like something was wrong with it?
Yes, I did touch it, and I thought to myself, oh, this is pretty high. I wonder how bad it is. It was definitely different from the other side
okay.
that I could feel.
So it felt different.
Yes.
All right. So Eric injured his right shoulder, by the way. So did they give you a diagnosis to your injury at the emergency room?
At that time, they didn't.
Okay.
They said that they're going to forward the x-ray to
your physician?
Right, to the orthopedic surgeon of my choice.
Okay.
And so they asked those kind of questions and with what, you know, carrier I had and things of that nature.
Okay. So Eric suffered a third degree acromioclavicular sprain. So you basically tore completely three ligaments that holds the outer tip of this collarbone down, and the area that it connects to makes this little bump that we all feel on the outside of our shoulder here. So the three ligaments that Eric tore were the acromioclavicular ligament, the conoid ligament, and the trapezoid ligament. So all three of those ligaments were torn off the bone. And Eric, when you went home and had a look at your shoulder, what did you see?
I knew I was in trouble.
Why?
I looked in the mirror and was like, okay, I'm deformed now. Okay. Something's definitely wrong with this shoulder. I can't lift my arm and I'm in pain. And the bump was significant.
Yeah.
So that obviously.
So the collarbone, the clavicular, clavicle was sticking up almost like a flagpole.
Right.
So it was, you had this nice, instead of a small lump on the outside of your shoulder, you had a bigger lump.
Right.
Probably sticking up about at least an inch.
Yes.
All right. And tell us about the pain. What kind of pain did you feel, Eric?
None when I didn't move anything.
Okay.
But as I would move, I experienced a lot of pain. Even if it was walking or trying to shift my weight somehow, no matter what I did, as long as I just came to realize that my shoulder is connected to everything else. And so whenever I moved, it was very painful.
Yeah.
I didn't want to lay down because obviously, you know, when you lay down, you have to brace yourself and then you lay down and have your weight on your back and such. So
right. So you feel it all in your shoulder.
Yes.
Yeah. Your shoulder is the most complex joint in the body, right? Because your arm is connected to your scapula as well as the clavicle. So three bones connect together in the same spot, and that is what makes the joint so complex, because most other joints, only two bones connect in one spot. So Eric, you realize that I guess with a lot of movement or your shoulder is involved in a lot of movement.
Yes.
So
I found that out real quick.
Right. So when did you visit the orthopedic surgeon?
I think it was about 3 days after the injury.
Okay.
I think that was as soon as I could get an appointment with him.
All right. Tell us what happened at the office visit with the orthopedic surgeon.
Well, as I got there, obviously I'm apprehensive and worried at the same time. So I get into the office and I had to wait about an hour. So I had a lot to think about, especially as he had the little model of the body on the desk.
Okay.
And I'm looking at, okay, well, that's the shoulder, and I probably messed things up there.
Okay.
So as he came in, the first thing he did, he asked me how I did it, and then he explained how others had gotten hurt too.
Okay.
And then he showed me my x-ray. He pulled up my x-ray.
Okay.
And I was just amazed at what I saw because, I mean, when I saw that x-ray and I saw the bone at how far it had separated, the gap was pretty big.
Big.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. And, yeah. You know, at least an inch.
Yes.
Separation. The only thing holding down your collarbone was the connection to the sternum, which is right here, you know, in the middle of the chest. So you had one bone connected to one end and the other one just free-floating. We can talk about what other doctors made recommendations to other people later.
Okay.
But what was your orthopedic surgeon's recommendation to help you?
Well, he said, I have some choices. He said I could leave it alone and live with the deformity.
Just leave it alone?
He said that was one choice.
Right.
And then he mentioned
that's
that...
one option,
yeah.
I guess.
Okay. And I thought to myself, well, that's not much of an option, but
yeah.
It is one. And then he told me that I could get surgery. And so when I probed a little further, I said, okay, well, what would be entailed if I get surgery? He says, well, we won't know until we really open it up, and we could either use a screw, a metal plate, you know, to put it back together. And I thought to myself, well, that doesn't sound much better either. So
to screw it down.
Yeah.
All right. So he only gave you two options.
Pretty much, yes.
Do nothing or surgery. So obviously you're going to choose surgery. Well,
thought about it.
Yeah, yeah, okay. But most people would think, well, I want my shoulder back in place, so I probably want surgery. But what did you do after that? He gave you your options. Did you seek a second opinion?
I definitely did. I consulted, of course, with my wife about what we should do. We prayed about it, and we decided that we'd go see you, Dr. Uchida.
Okay.
Because, you know, we were already familiar with you and what you've done with our son.
So. All right. Okay. If we have time, we can talk about Noah a little bit.
Sure.
All right. So, why did you not want to get surgery to repair your separation?
Well, I think I didn't want to get surgery because when he had mentioned we won't really know how bad it would be until we open it up and see what exactly happened in there.
Mm-hmm.
I got kind of nervous because I thought, well, what if it's less than what they think it is?
Mm-hmm.
Then was it really necessary?
Okay.
And I've heard other stories of people who have, you know, gone in, had surgery, and then they didn't really come out satisfied with what happened, or, you know, they didn't quite heal as they thought they would.
Right.
And then I heard a lot of those stories that, well, you know, if you get surgery, sometimes it's not 100%, so that later in life too you might feel the pains, and so I thought to myself, well, I definitely need to get another opinion and see what's out there.
Okay. You could imagine if they screw your clavicle down to your scapula, there's not going to be much give, right? Because with your ligaments, you can move your shoulder
right
really well. Because this shoulder, it moves all kinds of directions. But if you screw it down, you're going to limit range of motion. So you probably wouldn't have as much function with that shoulder as you had before. And that's an interesting way to go. So I'm surprised that he gave you the second option, which was do nothing. Because, I mean, when you first saw your shoulder when you went home after the emergency room visit, you said, I mean, you know, you're in bad shape.
Yes, I mean, and so when he told me that, I thought, well, okay, that might be a part of the sales pitch, maybe. I don't know.
For you to have surgery.
Yeah. And obviously, I didn't want to leave it the way it was.
Right.
It was quite interesting.
Okay, you decided you would seek my consultation.
Yes.
For your third-degree shoulder, let's say clavicular separation. What did I tell you?
Well, to my surprise, you said, well, we got to push it back. And I said, you're going to do what? I don't know if I want you to touch my shoulder now. But, yeah, you explained to me what would be required.
Okay.
The different things as far as, you know, pushing it back and then holding it there for a period of time. And still I was still apprehensive because I thought to myself, man, this thing is already in pain. I don't know if I want to go through more pain.
All right. So you were feeling a lot of pain.
Right.
Because last week, Jim, and you heard of Jim.
Yes.
Right? Jim really mangled his shoulder. He tore, he separated three bones off each other. You separated just two. But Jim said he didn't feel any pain, but you had a lot of pain.
I did.
Okay. You had a chance to listen to Jim's story, though, before we started work on your shoulder.
Yes. And that was part of the inspiration to get it done. I remember talking to you about it, and then you said you had another patient who had something similar, even worse.
Mm.
And so you let me borrow the tapes, and I listened to it. And the more I listened to it, I thought to myself, well, his was a lot worse than mine.
Mm-hmm.
So I was very optimistic that if his could get fixed naturally, then definitely I could put my trust that mine would be fixed as well.
Right. Eric was mentioning what we had to do is put the clavicle back into place so it could heal itself and mend back to the scapula. Yeah, so the three ligaments could bridge that gap. So instead of bridging a 1-inch gap, because your shoulder would have healed that way, but it would have healed that way.
Stuck in that position.
Right. So the ligaments would have found their way to connect to each other. But if we can bring the clavicle back down to the scapula, we have a better chance of healing that joint, 95%, 100%, 90% back to normal. So what we had to do is bring that bone back closer to the joint, but the hard part is keeping it there until it heals, which is about 6 weeks. But Eric, from the time you had injured your shoulder until we started work on you, or you saw me, how much time had passed?
It was about two weeks.
Two weeks?
Yep, about 2 weeks.
Okay. So there was some time from your visit with the orthopedic surgeon to me. What were you thinking during that 7-10 day period?
I was just at a loss. I didn't want to get surgery. And in the meantime, I was listening to the story about Jim.
Okay.
And thinking about that. And looking in the mirror quite often and feeling my shoulder and saying, well, we have to do something. And then, like I said, just took it to prayer and decided, you know what, we're going to go with Dr. Uchida.
All right. Okay. So, initially, let's say after you heard Jim's story, what did you think your chances of for full recovery?
I thought it was great.
You thought it was great?
Yeah. Cause, hearing Jim's story and then knowing of mine, I thought, well, yeah, if his can get fixed, I'm definitely sure that mine can.
All right. Okay. So Eric, on your first visit, what did we have to do? We kind of talked about it, what we had to do, get your get your clavicle back to your acromion, which is the connection on the scapula bone, but we also had to keep it in place until it healed. How did we go about doing that? Can you describe to the viewing audience, you know, what we did?
Okay. Well, first you did some muscle stimulation.
Okay.
And that was pretty cool. You know, you hooked me up to some of those electrodes,
right?
In different spots at different times, so that I guess maybe it lasted for about 15 minutes, maybe
15 30. To 20, 30 minutes. Yeah.
And after that. Then the real fun began. That's when you had to do all the work.
Again.
Yes. And so it was quite interesting. The very first time through, I thought I would be screaming and yelling in pain when he explained to me that you would grab the top of my shoulder, grab my elbow, and push it together.
Yeah.
I thought
bring the outer collarbone bone closer to the joint so it could look like that.
Yes.
So you thought you were going to have a lot of pain. Why?
I thought if you're going to move it,
yeah,
it's going to be painful.
You're right.
And so I was bracing myself, getting ready for that first initial shock. And to my surprise, as you started to push, it started to feel better. And I was just flabbergasted. I thought, this can't be happening. As I felt you actually moving it closer, it almost felt therapeutic. Like, oh, this the pain was exiting. It almost felt euphoric almost.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, your body knows which position it belongs in, and that's why it was feeling good, because it was getting closer to the position that it should be in. After how long did it, each visit you came in, how long did we go through that process of trying to squeeze your collarbone back together?
Well, each session, I must have spent a half hour doing it. I mean, you know, I'd get the 15 to 20 minutes with the stimulation.
Okay.
And then, like I said, Dr. Uchida did all the work for the next half hour, just squeezing, resting, you know, and...
Jim said I looked like I was pretty beat every time I was doing it, because I was, like, giving it my all, and he said he see beads of sweat running down my
forehead. Yeah, I can attest to that. Dr. Uchida did do a lot of work with the squeezing, to the point where I thought, you know, do it more, but I looked at you and I was like, well, I guess
that's all.
Yes. That's all. Yes. Yeah. I'll have to wait till the next treatment.
He's petering out today. It was only half an hour, man. Come on. But yeah, we really wanted you to get well.
Yes.
I mean, you know, obviously. But okay. The electrical muscle stimulation machine is actually called interferential that we used on Eric, and we attached it to various trigger points on the deltoid muscle and to the top of the shoulder and the upper back. How did that feel to you?
It felt good. It felt like getting a workout without having to move.
Yeah, yeah. Jim gave a little demonstration on the for TV audience last week. I don't know if you want to do the same.
I'll pass.
Yeah. You were bouncing up and down and stuff with your shoulder.
Yes.
But a lot of patients have mentioned, because they saw Bruce Lee's movie.
Okay.
I think it was called Enter the Dragon. No, the story of Bruce Lee. I forget the name. Dragon, the Bruce Lee story with Jason Scott Lee. Bruce Lee was using electrical muscle stimulation to tone his body so he wouldn't have to do the work. So he let the machines do the work for him. So we were using those machines to try to keep muscle tone for Eric's shoulder and upper arm so that it wouldn't atrophy so much.
Right.
Because Eric couldn't use it.
Right.
Because why, Eric? Why couldn't you use your shoulder?
Then the really hard part on my end came to me, where I had to keep it still.
Right.
And after the pressing, to keep it there, wrapped up, bundled, and not mobile, basically.
Right.
And we noticed that as I would go about my week before I came back from my next visit, that the point would move accordingly if I wasn't able to keep it as still as I needed to.
Right.
So over that extended period of time, you know, not moving it, obviously muscles just decided to not want to work anymore. And so that's a different story that we'll get to later. Yeah. When we had to rejuvenate them.
Yeah, yeah. Eric will give you an earful and an eyeful later. But with each visit, I mean, Eric, you saw me, what, two times a week, three times a week?
In the beginning, yes.
Yeah. The reason why Eric has to come in so frequently is because one visit, we won't achieve complete healing, let's say. It takes time to bring the tip of the clavicle closer and closer and closer and closer to the tip of the acromion process on the scapula. So it takes time to move the bones closer together. So that's why Eric had to come back frequently. And to keep the gains of that visit, we had to strap up the clavicular brace and the arm brace tighter and tighter together to try to keep the gains.
Right.
Right. How did that feel every day, Eric, that after you came in, we had to wrench up that clavicular brace up tighter?
Yeah, I didn't like it at all. I enjoyed the treatment, and I realized that when it came time to wrap it up, that, okay, I didn't enjoy that. Because I remember distinctly that there was one time where Dr. Uchida was trying to make it so tight that, you know, we'd I'd be going in one direction and he'd be pulling the other direction and making sure that it was really tight and snug so that things wouldn't move. And at different points, different times, we had to put like a towel under there to get more, I guess,
leverage
under there so that it could stay really
tight.
So
we could squeeze it down even more. Yeah. We had to get creative with the brace at times because we needed to get more traction in there so we could bring your tip of your collarbone down closer to your, let's say, shoulder.
Right.
So it was uncomfortable.
Very.
So could you take it off when you went home?
I could, but I knew if I did, that Dr. Uchida would know the next time I visit him. So no, I didn't. As much as I tried, I didn't want to take it off, except for when I took a shower. And then, God bless my wife, she helped me put it back on after the shower so that I could, keep it nice, tight, and snug when we went to sleep, and wake up and keep it tight and snug all through the day and just go through that same process over and over to really assure that that bone was not making its way back up.
Yeah, so we could keep the gains that we achieved at the office visit.
Yes.
So you had to sleep with that on.
Or try to sleep with it on, yes.
So you're trying to say that you didn't get much sleep?
No.
No. It was uncomfortable.
Yes.
Okay, so no doubt, you know, if you're weighing a clavicular strap and brace and arm brace, it's not going to be comfortable.
No.
Right, because it's hard to sleep for one, and then you can't move in it.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Your wife also helped out too, though. Yeah, she created a sling.
Yeah, she did a great job. She was right there helping me all the time. We tried to think about different things and how we could make it easier or better or more portable and all of that. So we tried different things. You know, we went over to the local Walmart, got some strap. It's like some canvas strap, and mm-hmm. we were sewing on Velcro strips on them.
Mm-hmm.
And we used like a metal ring so that we could get some,
pull
it back up. And so this contraption that we ended up making, it worked for a while, and then after a while it wouldn't, because then I'd want to move even more, or you know, things weren't as tight as they could be or should be.
Right.
So we were just experimenting with a lot of different contraptions, just trying to get it so that it was a little more comfortable and just easier to manage and deal with
on a daily basis.
On a daily basis, yes.
Because you know, obviously you have to work.
Right. Yes, I did go to work with the contraption on.
You were a popular guy at work.
Yeah, that's what they tell me. You know, being in charge of running the store.
Yeah. You know, you get a lot of comments?
I had a lot of comments. Quite a bit, in fact. You know, like some people thought it was my back. Some people thought it was my neck.
Yeah.
So and people would ask what happened, and I could share my story. And so I told them, and they realized that it wasn't an easy feat. It was quite amazing because I guess as I was injured and wearing this brace, I was more in tune with people who also might have been injured and having some kind of difficulty. And so we'd mm-hmm. share stories and of injuries and stuff. And I guess that's when I started to also tell them, hey, you know, I got this great doc that's helping me out. His name is Dr. Uchida. Go give him a call.
All right. Thanks, Eric. Yeah. All right. So, you know, went through this process. One thing, a sidetrack, I wanted to ask you. I never asked you before. You hurt your right shoulder.
Yes.
You're right-handed.
Yes.
You had to drive around with your left arm. How was that? And then having your arm in a brace,
yes.
Two braces, basically.
It took teamwork. Because I have a stick shift.
Oh,
yes. God. So,
right, here we go.
So confession time. My son, who's 10 years old, I decided that now, at that time, it was a good time to teach him how to shift the gears. And so as my legs did the clutch, I showed him where the little H was on the on the shifting for the gears. And so he helped me out whenever he was driving the car in front seat with his seatbelt on, of course.
Yeah.
And so he had some fun learning how to shift. And so that was fun.
All right, Noah.
Yeah. So, wife.
But he wasn't with you all the time.
Not all the time, yes.
So how'd you do it when you were by yourself?
So it took a lot of timing and practice. As I would shift, you know, I'd have to sorry, HPD, have to take my hand off of the wheel and then shift.
Oh my God.
With my left hand and then come back to the wheel. So,
wow.
Yeah, it took quite a bit of dexterity to have to drive and wear the brace at the same time.
It's amazing you didn't get into an accident, man.
I try not to drive a lot.
Yeah.
Alone, at least.
I didn't know about that. All right. So, Eric, you came into my office 3 times a week to get this therapy. We did let's say physical manipulation.
Yes.
We put on the electrical muscle stimulation. Mm-hmm. Did we do anything else?
Yes. After I guess there was enough progress made, that's when we started to do, I guess, like ultrasound.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember the exact order because I also remember having to go through starting to try to move it again.
Okay. All right.
And this is the part that was really painful.
Okay.
I'll be honest. That was maybe even more painful than the injury itself.
Okay.
Simply because the injury itself, you know, you get injured, you're in pain, and then I guess it gets numb or your body gets used to the pain and you know, it's not as tremendous anymore.
It's one incident.
Yes.
And then it's done.
Yes.
Right. Okay. So, wait, before we start talking about that, Eric, I see Eric wanting to talk about that really quick. So, the reason why we did the ultrasound was to try to prevent scar tissue from forming. In medicine, we call it fibrous tissue growth. So what that can lead to is like frozen shoulder, mm-hmm. right? So for those of you who had injured your arm and put it in a sling for periods of, let's say, a few weeks to a few months, frozen shoulder can develop, which basically means that the ligaments, tendons, muscles in that shoulder joint has fibrosed and formed scar tissue. And that leads to frozen shoulder. So we were trying to use the ultrasound to prevent that from happening. But Eric, on top of the therapy we did at the office with me, you also took some supplements though.
Yes. I'm trying to remember what they were. One was Ligaplex,
right?
I remember taking that. And another was manganese,
right? Discomplex?
You're right. And
Discomplex. Yes. So those supplements are used to try to help the ligaments heal faster and stronger. Mm-hmm. All right. So Eric was taking supplements to help his separation heal well, but also completely and strongly. All right, Eric. So did that part of the treatment hurt? You mentioned that it actually felt good. So that part of the treatment didn't hurt you at all?
No.
Okay.
No, not at all.
All right. Can you tell the viewing audience about how long it took for you to start to see significant improvement in getting your clavicle back to where it was before?
I mean, it was almost immediate from after that first press.
Okay.
Yeah, it was immediate.
Okay. All right, so we talked about, you know, putting it back together and then the battle of keeping it back into position and so your body would have a chance to heal. Because basically, we only have a period of time because the body's going to heal. We can't stop the body from healing. The only thing we can do is keep dislocating or separating that joint. But if you had just let it sit, and did nothing, your collarbone would have healed that way within about, let's say, 4 to 6 weeks or so. Yeah. And then to heal it completely back to normal and put it back into place, you would have to rip or tear the ligaments apart again and then try to put it back together. So we were running against some time, but do you recall about how long it took for your shoulder to heal back about 95% or so?
I think that took, let's see, I injured it in March, and by maybe June, maybe by around June, I think that's where we're at the point where I guess we're moving to the next phase.
Okay, the next phase, that's true, because it was completely healed. Now we had to make sure the arm and joint could function,
could all be right. usable again.
So, Eric, when you start to see the healing happening, let's say after the first visit, what were you feeling? How did you feel about that?
I was pretty excited and amazed at the same time. And I know as I started to visit you more often, I had more and more questions.
Because you did have a lot of questions, yeah.
Just because I thought, wow, this is cool. I mean, let it alone or have surgery, and then now here I am with you, and I see that it's moving back to where it should be. I was just amazed at how things were going. They were looking good.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, yeah, Jim had a great story, so hey, I guess mine's going to be great too. So I remember just every week coming in, I'd actually be excited to see you. You know, I know a lot of people are not excited to see a doctor, but as my appointments came up, I enjoyed it because as you would be doing the hard work, I'd be asking you questions about, you know, other inspirational stories of other patients you had too.
That's right. You did ask a lot of questions about other patients too, with other problems.
Right.
You had mentioned that it took about, let's say, 10 weeks or so for your shoulder to completely heal. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to move on to the next phase. And the next phase Eric is talking about is what happened during that 10 weeks is that clavicle, that outer tip of the clavicle, healed down and connected with the acromion of the scapula and healed completely. So we took off the brace and the sling, arm sling, and then we had to see if Eric's joint was working, the arm joint was working. And then Eric, what happened when we started to do some range of motion exercises?
To no one's surprise, the joint wasn't working.
Okay, it was frozen. Okay. All right, the shoulder had frozen.
Yes.
But we kind of figured it may.
Right. Okay. And you did a good job at preparing me for what was coming.
Okay. So, now Eric, it's frozen. How do we unfreeze it?
Yeah. Over a period of weeks of some painful exercises.
That but you did at home.
And know that you helped me with.
Okay.
Because I would not have done it myself at home knowing that it was that painful.
All right.
So when we first started, you know, of course now I felt a little bit down because everything felt good up to this point.
Yeah. For the treatment.
Right. And so, since my arm was tucked for most of that time, not only my shoulder, but my elbow as well had to get back to being mobile.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the elbow wasn't as bad.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember as you started to do these exercises, oh my gosh, it was I had to cringe and
for one,
grit, and
your range of motion was very minimal,
very
you couldn't even lift your arm up above your shoulder height,
and not even close, in
and
fact,
you couldn't barely move it back in back of you too,
right?
Because you know, range of motion is like this. Eric's was more like this at that initially anyway.
Yes, initially I remember as you tried to lift the shoulder in the different directions.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that my entire body would be also moving,
right,
in the direction that, you know, you're trying to lift the
right
arm.
And I told you, I gave you an example why that was happening. You recall?
No, I don't.
They said, well, normally you have two bones.
Oh, but right.
Now,
right.
Now your body is thinking it's one.
Yes. One big glob.
Connected together.
I remember
so that's
that.
Why you're... You had to move your whole body to move your arm.
Yes. And you explained that how everything came to that tip. And now because it's all frozen,
we got to unfreeze it.
We got to unfreeze it.
So in the old days, they would just rip that shoulder. But, you know, obviously, we didn't do that.
No, you didn't. Thank you very much.
But we did do range of motion exercise. Could you tell the listening and viewing audience kind of how that went over time?
Okay. Over time, obviously, it took a period of time for the joint to be able to be mobile again, but it did take a lot of patience. I remember at first starting off, and it was very painful as you tried to move the joint in different directions. And I remember in the beginning, obviously there weren't a whole lot of directions you could move it
mm-hmm.
toward. But as the time went on and as visits got more consistent, it started to loosen up. And I remember you encouraging me to do it on my own, also at home,
mm-hmm.
or to have someone help. And I found that having someone help was more productive than trying to do it on my own, because it was very painful, you know, going up against the wall and mm-hmm. trying to, you know, stretch it.
Right.
Versus, you know, someone pushing it.
And, right.
And that someone being either my wife or my son.
You know, initially when we moved your arm and shoulder around to increase range of motion, was it pain-free?
Not at all.
Excruciating pain?
Excruciating pain. I would probably consider it a good form of torture.
All right.
If Dr. Cheeto wanted to know any of my deepest secrets at that time, he would have been well served.
Okay, it was painful getting your shoulder back together. The first... How long did that excruciating pain last?
I'd say maybe about... Of course, the very first one, but maybe about a week and a half to 2 weeks
of that, going through that,
it was really, really bad.
Okay, as we increased your range of motion, how intense was the pain?
It then started to get only at certain, I guess, points.
Yeah, the extreme points.
Right,
extreme of range
points.
Of motion.
And that in itself was encouraging, because everything was painful at first, but then as the weeks wore on, now it was just certain points, and then we noticed that it was at a higher stretch or a farther stretch.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, and you reassured me that that was the form of healing that was taking place as we were breaking down the scar tissue and
right.
things that had solidified in there as one glob.
Right. So, during the extreme points of range of motion is where the scar tissue, let's say, was left, and that's what we had to break down.
Right.
And that's why you're feeling the pain in those areas. How long or how many weeks did it take us to go from frozen shoulder
mm-hmm.
in June
mm-hmm.
to having a complete range of motion again?
It was probably about 3.5 weeks to 4 weeks.
3.5 to 4 weeks. So not very long.
No.
All right. So we went from June to, let's say, mid-July or so.
Mm-hmm.
And how did your shoulder and arm function at that time?
At that time, I had full range of motion.
Okay.
But I do recall that if I try to throw a football, though, because I guess my muscles weren't as developed as they were before.
Yeah.
I remember distinctly trying to throw a football, and at a certain point when I cocked it back, that I did feel a little bit of a bite.
Mm,
and then, you know, I could throw the ball. And I remember talking to you about that as well. And then you said, well, you know, it'll take time for the body to just get back to normalcy
mm-hmm.
As I do different activities and maybe even work out.
Yeah.
And so that's what I found. As I exercised more and worked out more, it got that much better. That much faster.
Yeah. 'Cause you hadn't done anything from June to July. I shouldn't say July. From March to, let's say, July or so, yeah? So you hadn't really used your arm or shoulder for anything for about 4 months.
Right.
So that's kind of to be expected. But how is your shoulder feeling now, Eric? Because it is, let's say, you injured your shoulder March of last year.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's May of 2009. Do you have any disability or feel any pain in your right shoulder?
None at all.
None.
Zero.
No disability.
None.
You can do everything you could do before.
I can raise my hand, reach back, you know.
No pain.
None.
No pain.
None.
Is there any weakness?
Nope.
No.
No.
Any diminished range of motion or anything?
No.
No. All right. So do you feel like your shoulder is healed up 100%?
Well, I would say yes. And I could back that up with the fact that I'm back on the soccer field playing soccer again, falling on, you know, the field. And getting shoulder tackled and stuff and still being fine. And I also still play basketball on Saturday nights.
So. Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Man, you went back to soccer even after that injury.
Yes.
You're playing it probably more now.
Yes.
All right. Man, you're a daredevil there, Eric. All right. So does healing your severely sprained, separated shoulder without surgery surprise you?
Yes, it did. It did. It does. Simply because, you know, when you're given that option of leave it alone or get surgery, and you think and believe, well, that's the only two options I have, and then you find a third, and that third being do it naturally and with, you know, of course, your help, and then now it's back as good as new. I mean, yeah, that's pretty amazing and surprising to me.
All right. Do you have any regrets about not undergoing surgery to heal or repair your torn shoulder ligaments?
None.
No.
None.
You know, Jim had mentioned a little bit about it. Obviously, most medical insurance doesn't cover naturopathic medicine. And yours didn't either.
But they don't.
But still, you chose to heal naturally.
Yes.
Would you give the viewing and listening audience why you chose to heal your shoulder naturally?
Well, I knew that that was one of the considerations that I had to think about, which was, you know, our insurance company, medical insurance, wasn't going to cover it.
Yeah.
And I did know that you didn't come free either. So that was something that I had to balance. And so when we made that choice, and as we started to see things start to go in the right direction, then money almost wasn't relevant at that point, because now I knew that my shoulder was going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that you had told me prior to me starting, I saw happening. And you had explained it to me why in those sessions, as my probably 50 questions would, you know, ask you about, is how is it happening? Why is it happening? And, you know, where do we go from here? So I got more than just the healing of my shoulder. I really got educated about just the body and the
how it heals itself.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing to witness, because you were, you know, witnessing it firsthand.
Yes.
The healing ability of the human body.
Yes.
You know, and that's the thing I find amazing for me too, as a naturopathic physician. But, you know, I see it happening, let's say, several times a week, right? I see many different patients. So I know it's going to happen. And because I have that experience, I know about how long it would take and what's the next step. But for you, this is the first time you had seen it happening in front of your eyes.
Right.
Is there anything you would like to say about what you experienced with the body's ability to heal itself for the viewing and listening audience?
Well, I'll just say, I mean, having gone through what I did, if you do have an injury or some kind of, maybe even a disability or something of that nature that you need some kind of treatment for, you know, even if the experts say, you know, this is what you must do or this is your only option, I would say, you know, take a look at another option, which would possibly be naturopathic medicine, first, at least, and to go with that.
First?
Yeah, first.
Yeah, all right, all right. Eric, we had a lot of factors fighting against us to heal your, shoulder perfectly, right, with form and function, it's called. We had time against us. We had to heal it within about 6 weeks, or it's going to heal itself in 6 weeks. So we had to get your shoulder together in about 6 weeks. And we were able to manage that, you know, luckily. So, you know, we did have to have a lot of things going, working with us. I'd like to end with this message, Eric, because we're running out of time. These programs are brought to you so that you can watch and listen to real-life experiences of how the human body can heal itself, not only completely, but quickly, if given the right environment to do so.
Yes.
Yeah. Eric, I'm sorry to say that our time is up. Thank you for sharing your amazing story with everyone on radio and television on Island Wellness. I'd like to thank all of you for tuning in and joining us. I hope you enjoyed the program and learned something of value. Please join me next week as we discuss the desperate search for superior brain power through medications. Thank you for watching Island Wellness. I'm Dr. Jason Uchida. God bless you. I look forward to being with you here again next week on Island Wellness.